Been around someone who was passionate about something? Someone who was passionate about something that they really believed, firmly believed, that everyone had to be an enthusiastic part of? Have you found that their intensity of beliefs, that their persuasion and that their drive just exhausted you? That's how I envision Jesus' follower, Paul. Paul had been raised in the strict branch of Judaism. He was committed to keeping Judaism pure. He led the men who killed Stephen, an early Christian, because Stephen had proclaimed that Jesus was the Savior and that the Jews had killed this Savior. He imprisoned Christians in Jerusalem in order to destroy the church. Paul was a portrait of passion. Passionate about God, passionate about the Word of God, passionate about the will of God. As he traveled to Damascus to continue what he believed was his God-ordained work, on the road he had a very bright encounter with Jesus that left him temporarily blinded. Jesus told him to go into the city of Damascus where he would be told what to do. And there Jesus worked through a man by the name of Ananias, another believer in Christ, who taught Saul then, Paul later, about God's truth. And so it was that Paul became a Christian. At once, the Bible tells us, he began to teach in the Jewish synagogues that Jesus was the Son of God and the Savior of Jews and of mankind. Just as he had been passionate as a defender of Judaism, now he was passionate as an apologist, as a presenter, a proclaimer of Christ, as the fulfillment of all of those prophecies that God had given about the Savior. The Jewish religious leaders found him so persuasive and so threatening in terms of Judaism that they developed a plot to kill him. And so he left for Jerusalem. And there the same thing occurred as Paul began to speak so boldly and aggressively and persuasively in the synagogue. The Jews there decided they were going to kill him. And so once again, Paul left. A few years later, a Christian by the name of Barnabas brought Paul to Antioch to preach and to teach the gospel. And after a year of effective work, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit directed the church to send Barnabas and Saul away from Antioch to take the gospel elsewhere. And thus began the first of three missionary trips for this man known as Paul. Someone has written, Paul's mission was to find key people in each city who could lead a new community of believers, a church, and help those in need through the deeds of mercy and love. In his passion for doing this, Paul allowed nothing to stop him. He taught persuasively and passionately about salvation from sins through Jesus, first to the Jews and then to non-Jews. Some believed and were baptized, but others rejected his teachings and persecuted him, not just verbally, but physically and with great threat. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verses 3 through 10, Paul wrote about what he had endured as he preached taught about God's message of saving love. He says, "We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad reports and good report, genuine, yet regarded as impostors, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten, and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything." It's important, I think, for us to remember when we think about Paul as a representation of so many early Christians through the first three centuries of Christianity, who endured so much in the same ways that Paul had been persecuted, that Paul and these early Christians did not enjoy suffering any more than you and I do. You and I, in our environment, in our time and place, typically don't suffer for persecution. We suffer illnesses, whether it be mental or emotional or physical. But we don't suffer for persecution, not like they did. Paul, like the other Christians of that era, did not seek out the opportunity to suffer. And he sacrificed a normal personal life with all the luxuries and all the comforts that you and I would seek were we living in his time and that we have as we live in our own time. So what did Paul achieve for all that he went through because he was passionate about Jesus? Well, he took God's good news of sacrificial love to much of the Roman Empire. He established numerous churches in predominantly non-Jewish cities and communities throughout much of the northern and eastern Roman Empire. He wrote many letters to strengthen individuals and churches. He trained several men to take God's word to the world. He modeled how to share and how to live the gospel in a Christ-like manner with people who were not immediately willing or ready to accept it. His portrait of passion is one that, as we read it and as we think about his life, is one that inspires us, if we will allow it, inspires us to live as he lived, to do as he did, to endure what he endured, to prioritize what he prioritized, to sacrifice what he sacrificed. A person could only do what Paul did if they deeply love God and other people. That's really the bottom line. Paul revealed the purpose that drove his passion in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 16 and going on through verse 23. Paul writes in a way to defend himself against his fellow Christians who thought little of him. He says, "When I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make use of my rights of preaching it. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I myself am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all of this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." John Wesley may have had Paul in mind when he wrote these words: "Give me 100 men who fear nothing but God and hate nothing but sin, and who know nothing but Jesus Christ, and I will shake the world." By his holy passion and the Holy Spirit's power, one man, Paul, shook a significant portion of the world. Think about that. It was said by his detractors that Paul had shaken the world of his own time. Certainly Paul was surrounded by other men that, like Barnabas, who had nurtured him and brought him along. But Paul also had men that he was nurturing and bringing along. And so there was this group of men who traveled sometimes together, sometimes separately, sometimes in groups of two and sometimes in larger groups. But this small cadre of men, led by Paul, were said to have filled the world with the gospel during their own time. Was that an exaggeration? Probably so. And yet, it said so much about how much of that known world, of the Roman world, that Paul and his cohorts had effectively evangelized. They had spread the knowledge of Christ broadly within a relatively short period of time. You know, Paul probably only had a preaching career of about 30 years, maybe a little bit more. But in that period of time, look at the impact that this one man had due to his holy passion and the Holy Spirit's power at work within him. And you know, brothers and sisters, you and I can have that same kind of impact if we have that same kind of holy passion and if we seek the Lord's power in our lives. If we're just as devoted as Paul was, if we're just as willing to sacrifice as he was, if we're just as driven because of the love of God and the sharing of that with other people that they might enjoy what we enjoy, the promises, the blessings now, and the blessings to come. Imagine what we could do together with God's Holy Spirit empowering us and firing our holy passion. Imagine. I'm not sure that we can imagine that. I wonder sometimes if we look at a man like Paul and say, I could never be like him. I could never have his zeal for the Lord. I could never have his willingness to sacrifice. I could never do what he did. I could never have the determination and the perseverance to undergo what he did. But brothers and sisters, God can stir it in us if we will allow him and not put out the fire of the Holy Spirit that is within each one of us. Amen? Amen. Jesus impressed a difficult and a life-changing truth upon all of his followers. When you decide to follow Jesus, you also accept his mission for your life. It's well that we remember that the mission that God had for Paul was unique to Paul. He didn't have that same mission for everybody. But when you read the 16th chapter of the book of Romans, and Paul has this list of people that he expressed appreciation for, you see that God had a purpose and a call that differed for different people. And every one of those purposes was of great value to God's overall purpose of reaching the world, nurturing people, and causing folks to be united with him, to spend eternity with him. If, when you become a Christian, you understand how much God loves you, and if, when you become a Christian, you understand the destructive nature of sin, and if, when you become a Christian, you understand what you have been saved from, and if, when you become a Christian, you understand what God is giving you as his child, then, regardless of everything else about you and about your circumstances, you cannot hold back sharing God's saving message. That is holy, loving, godly passion. And that's what you and I need to get in touch with within ourselves. That's what you and I need to be in touch with in order to be fired up like Paul was. That's what you and I need to recognize. Now that passion is going to show itself in different ways. Some of us are just more calm, reserved, kind of internal people. We may have a passion going on within us that doesn't show outwardly, maybe like Paul's did. But that doesn't mean it's any less passionate. It just means it's expressed in different ways. Or we may be like a Paul. We may be very gregarious, outgoing people. We may be people who are just filled with zeal. We may be people who are kind of hard to put up with because we just are passionate. And that's great, because no matter which way it goes or anything in between, God has a purpose for us that fulfills His greater purposes. The question is, will you and I be filled with this same holy, loving, godly passion, however God chooses to express it through us, that we might be His servants in the fullest possible way to accomplish His purposes to His glory? Paul's passion is seen in his vision. His vision was to take the gospel to the known world of his day. Paul ended up traveling to Italy, not as one of his missionary journeys, but because he was arrested and taken there because he appealed to Caesar, to have an audience with Caesar for the things he'd been accused of. But even as Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he told them about his desire to travel further west, on to Spain. Paul recognized that there was more and more within this empire that he had an opportunity to reach, more and more people, more and more souls who needed to come to a knowledge of Christ, more and more people who needed to be part of God's family, of Christ's body. I can well imagine that if Paul had been able to go on to Spain, he would have said next, "But I want to go on to the British Isles," because even then the Roman Empire was extending into the British Isles and north up into Gaul, now France. Can you imagine if he had lived longer, if that had been God's purpose for him, how much and how far he would have traveled in that time in order to share the gospel? That would have been Paul's vision, because his vision was wherever there are souls to be saved, that's where I want to be. Billy Graham once said, "Many sincere Christians around the world are concerned with evangelism. They're delighted at evangelizing in their own communities and even in their own countries. But they do not see God's big picture of world need and the global responsibility that He, God, has put on the church in His world. The Christians in Nigeria are not just to evangelize Nigeria, nor the Christians in Peru just the people in Peru. God's heartbeat is for the world." And brothers and sisters, you and I live in a time in which the world has come to cities throughout the world, and we live in a place where the world has come to us. We need to be actively looking for opportunities to reach out to the world around us within our own cities and communities. God has blessed us in that way, and that's a beginning place for us, but it's a rich beginning place for us. It provides all kinds of opportunity to evangelize the world right here. Before becoming a Christian, Paul was completely devoted to God. That's why we can look at Paul and see this passion. Paul was sure that he understood God's teachings about the Messiah or Christ. He was so sure that he was doing God's will. That's why he went out and arrested people and threw them in prison, because they proclaimed Christ instead of Judaism. Paul was passionate about the word and the will of God. And Paul was completely wrong. Being devoted to God or sincere about our beliefs does not make us right. And it does not save us. As passionate as Paul was about his beliefs in God, he was in fact in conflict with God's will. Devotion to God and passion for God's work are wonderful, and God used that within Paul. But devotion and passion are just not enough. Jesus warned in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21 through 23, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, the day of judgment, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Obedience to God is the bottom line. After all of our devotion, after all of our passion, after all of our dead sureness that we're right about what we're doing, obedience to God is the bottom line. Does Paul's life stir a passion in you to spread God's message? If it does, then praise God for that. And may God stir that. I hope that you will not let it wither. I hope that you will stoke the Spirit's fire that is within you. That in whatever ways you see opportunities and times, that you will look more and more for those to spread God's message in your little corner of the world. I encourage you to act on your passion. I encourage you to talk to your fellow Christians about putting your passion to work. Put your time, your abilities, and your money to work for the Lord. Be passionate about those things. Be sacrificial about them, just as Paul was. Help us hire an associate minister here who will help us spread God's word here and beyond this place. Pray for God to send us more workers to further spread God's word with the same kind of passion that Paul had and that other leaders in the early church had. The New Testament and early church history reveal that passionate Christians were more normal than they were rare. Why? Because those early Christians understood that sin destroys and that God forgives sins and that God will bless us as His children if we will obey Him. If you've not done that, or if you've strayed away from obeying Him, today is the best day and the best moment of your life to turn that around and to begin obeying Him right now. If we can be of help to you, we urge you to come forward as we stand and sing this song.
I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.